connected Lie group, and we have an element of some of the cohomology of the of the group cohomology of G, fourth group cohomology of G. But not all of it, just some those elements that satisfy a certain positivity condition, and therefore there's a little plus here. I will jump directly to my punchline, which is the thing that I find interesting about this is the fact that what comes out of that is a particular requirement that the grouping be connected. The group doesn't need to be simply connected, but the group does need to be connected. And we'll see why that's the case. So let me start by chiral WZW models. What is a chiral WZW model? I'm trying to find a definition of this. And one of the things that I did in my paper was to write down a definition. And so there's two kinds of definitions in math. And let me illustrate the two kinds of definitions by an example. Suppose I'm talking about algebras. Let me give you two examples of classes of algebras. We have commutative algebras. This is a class of algebras. They're defined by the requirement AB equals BA whenever A and B are elements of my algebra. Here is another class of algebras. Group algebras. A group algebra is an algebra that you obtain in the following way. You start with a group, and then you look at all formal linear combinations of elements of your group, and that is an algebra under the group multiplication. These two classes of algebras, they're both classes of algebras, are defined in very different ways. One of them, this first one, is defined sort of from the outside. You start with all algebras, and then you make the class of all algebras smaller by imposing a constraint, commutativity. Here, you start with a construction. You start with nothing, and you say, I'm going to give you a bunch of algebras, and here it is, those coming from groups. So this is a sort of a definition from the outside, and this is a definition from the inside. And usually, I mean, at least as far as I can tell, when people talk about chiral WZW models, this is done in the same spirit as that, in the sense of like, I'm going to give you a bunch of chiral CFTs, and here they are. And really what I'm going to show you right now is a definition of this in the same spirit as that. From the outside, it's like I start with the notion of a chiral CFT, like all chiral CFTs, and then I'm going to be like, okay, now I'm going to impose some constraints, and then we'll get a class of chiral CFTs, and that class of chiral CFTs is going to end up being in bijective correspondence with that, and in correspondence with what people usually call chiral WZW models. Okay, so in order to do that, I need a notion, a mathematical formalism for chiral CFT. And I will be using the formalism of vertex algebras. More precisely, unitary vertex algebras. So these are going to be defined as being certain unitary VOAs satisfying some properties. So probably I should tell you a little bit about VOAs. I mean, I will use this little that I'll tell you. So um, if I have an algebra, then given a number of elements of my algebra, a1 up to an in my algebra, then if I take those elements and put them on a line in a particular order, a1, a2, and so on, an, this is now, again, something that represents an element of my algebra. And there's nothing, no meaning to the distances here. This is just saying I put them next to each other. There is a way of multiplying. That's what an algebra is. A vertex algebra is the same thing, except you complexify this. Instead of using the real line, you use the complex plane. So if I have a VOA V, and I have a number of elements, V1 up to VN in V, and I put a bunch of points on the complex plane that I label by V1 up to Vn, this is now an element of V. Except not quite. V here was defined as a direct sum of finite dimensional spaces V sub n, and this lives in all degrees, so it lives in the direct product of those same here. So this is a slight enlargement, and this is where this thing lives. So I have my fixed configuration, it lives in this thing, and this is the product in the VOA. Now, it's a little bit unpleasant to have a product that starts with elements here and produces elements there, because you can't compose. You need to have the same thing here and here in order to be able to compose. So let me give you a particular thing that you can do with VOAs that will produce, again, elements of V bar. So here's what you can do. Elements of V, I meant. Here's what you can do. This is now, I take two elements in my vertex algebra, and then there's the nth product that you can. So for every n in Z, there is a particular operation that you can do, and it's defined as follows. WnV. And this is not a sub n. This is an n which is in the location of a subscript, except exactly in the middle of W and V. It's like a binary operation, which is sub n is a binary operation. And it's defined to be, so it's going to be a contour. Here you take V and put it at the point 0. And when I put a thing at the point, I indicate it by saying like that. So take the element V, put it at the point 0, and then take the element W and put it at the point Z, and then do that Z to the N dZ, where this is the contour C. And this here was required to only depend holomorphically on the location of the points, and therefore this here is well defined regardless of the radius of this contour C. This is a well defined element, again, in V. So we have traded something that lived in V bar with something that lives in V, and that's why we prefer that. By the way, if these two lived in degree N and M, this is going to be in degree, here I have an N here, degree A and B. This whole expression here is going to live in degree A plus B minus N minus 1. So you should think of Z as having degree minus 1, Z has degree minus 1, DZ has degree minus 1, and then you get minus N minus 1. Now you can, of course, ask for what kind of identities do these nth products have. So you start with, how is it going to work board-wise? I guess this can go down. So you start with three elements, and you say, okay, can I compute this in terms of the operation and do it in some other way. And the way you do it, well, you write it as 1 over something, and then it's going to be a double integral. First, I put the point w at 0. That's this one. This is now w. I put it at 0. And then I put at point z1, so there's going to be dz1 to the n, z1 to the n, and dz1. So then I put v at the point z1, and really what I should put is this whole thing. So I should put, so the second integral is really the yellow integral. Do you see the difference between white and yellow? So, and then there's going to be z2 to the m, dz2, and here I have u z2. So you do that, that's just writing out the definition. Then you're like, well, if I fix the location of my z1, then this yellow contour here can be rewritten as an integration over a disconnected curve that has two components, one here and one there, of the same stuff. I forgot to say, this is really z2 put at z1. So this is really not z2, this is z2 plus z1. If I want to have it depend just on something which is called z2, and not on that, then I need to replace the z2 by z2 minus z1. So here we have, again, w in the middle, here we have v, and here we have u over there. And then you expand this thing using the binomial coefficient, binomial theorem, and you end up with, eventually you end up with the following formula. It's like, so these two yellow components are going to produce two different terms, and here they are. That's one of them, and the other one is, that now doesn't move, so I keep it here. And what I'm writing right now is known as the Borchers identities, and this is how vertex algebras were originally defined mathematically, namely a VOA is a vector space with z many binary operations satisfying this, this is equal to that for every n and m. And of course you can imagine that it's difficult to work with that, which is why it was really some kind of breakthrough to be able to harness that structure. But the reason I'm bringing this here is that if I look at the zero product, so that has degree minus one. And therefore, if I take two elements from V1, I land again in V1. Um, So if you look at what happens when both n and m are zero, well, that sum contains only one term, and that sum contains only one term, and you end up with just the Jacobi identity on the nose. So you have that, and then the one product so I'm going to assume that V0 is one-dimensional. The one product is an invariant symmetric bilinear form, invariant with respect to this So using that, I can already give you a baby version of that statement up there, which is going to be a class of models that are in bijective correspondence with compact, simply connected Lie groups and the class in H4+. So let me define a simply connected chiral WCW model is, it's going to be a unitary VOA, and I'm going to use a couple of words that I'll have to explain, that is rational and generated in degree one. So let's see what are the words that I haven't talked about so far. Unitary means that, means two things. First of all, V admits a sesquilinear form on it, just like Hilbert spaces. So V can be completed into a Hilbert space. And second of all, there is a star operation. Every element of V has a star. So it's an antilinear map from V into V, and then some axioms that say how these two structures should be compatible. Rational means, so whenever you have a VOA, there's a notion of module for that VOA. You can talk about the representation category of that VOA, and if the representation category is really simple, if it only has finitely many types of ereps, and the category is semi-simple, meaning every erep is a direct sum of those things, then I'm going to call VOA to be rational. And generating degree one, well, it means that under these binary operations that I just explained, starting with things in degree one, you get everything. And given what I explained to you so far, it should be pretty easy to see how you get, first of all, your compact Lie group, compact simply connected Lie group. Well, really what you get is a Lie algebra. You can then think of it as a Lie group by exponentiating it. So you take your VOA and you look at V1, that's the Lie algebra. The condition that the VOA is unitary is going to tell you that this Lie algebra is of compact type, is the Lie algebra of something, of a compact Lie group. So Lie algebras of compact Lie groups come in two flavors. There's the semi-simple ones and there's the abelian ones. Abelian ones are Lie algebras of tori and semi-simple one. I guess you can have a direct sum of the two things. Then the condition that the VOA is rational is going to tell you that the abelian ones just cannot occur. They're just not allowed. The VOA corresponding to an abelian Lie algebra happens to not be rational. So I've put here an adjective that makes sure that I get rid of that. So then we'll have a semi-simple Lie algebra of compact type, and then I can look at the corresponding Lie group, which is now going to be compact. So that is what you get by just looking at this part of the data. So that is going to produce G. The next thing you have is...
I have a non-chiral WCW model, like the actual 2D CFT.
Yes?
That knows about why the movie algebra, right? Should be classified also by...
I'm going to tell you about some chiral things that know about more than the Lie algebra. This is a sort of preliminary definition. So you can do the same thing with non-chiral WCW models. And again, you can have models that correspond to the either simply connected ones or including non-simply connected Lie groups. But what you won't have in the case of full WCW models is you won't have this H4BG. We'll have something else. So classification is a bit different. So here, if you look at that piece of structure, so let's assume for simplicity that our Lie algebra is simple. If the Lie algebra is simple, then there's only a one-dimensional space of choices for what this symmetric bilinear form could be. So a priori, you have this one-dimensional space of choices, but actually what ends up happening is that in that space of choices, there's only so many places. Well, first of all, the unitarity constraint eliminates one half line, so that sort of you only can have a positive definite inner product, otherwise it's not unitary. And then the other thing that you have is then you look at which ones are rational among the remaining ones, and then you end up seeing that only the ones that are integer multiples of a certain basic inner product are allowed, so you have really the naturals as the, and then you're like, okay, so we have our classification. It corresponds to like a Lie group, what I'm saying, like it's simple, and then an element in the naturals, a number. And then there's a computation that says, well, H4 of BG is also rank one, and you can make these two things into bijection, but it's a bit unclear that it really should be H4 of BG at this level of analysis. I just computed that it depends on a number, and I've computed that H4 is also rank one, and therefore I can put these two things into bijection. So really what's going to be, I mean, the next step, I'm going to give you a definition analogous to that that is going to also capture the non-simply connected Lie groups, and then we will really see H4 of BG emerging from the definition in a non-trivial way. So now I want to tell you about the general chiral WCW models. So in order to motivate the definition, it is useful to have a way of talking about these, which is a little bit more Lie group theoretical as opposed to being Lie algebra theoretical. A thing where you really see the group, and you, here we only see the algebra, the Lie algebra, we don't see the Lie group. So let me give you a construction. So this is sort of like not in the spirit of this talk right now. I'm just going to give you a construction that will produce the same VOAs starting from the Lie group, and then we'll see what happens if you replace the Lie group by something non-simply connected, and then we'll try to work backwards and rephrase it in the definition in that style so that like you don't have the... So what is a Lie group theoretic way of talking about these things? I'm going to do it via geometric quantization. So you start with... So now I'm going to do something that starts with a Lie group G. And then the first thing that you do is you say, you consider this manifold M, infinite dimensional manifold, which is the moduli space of, so this is compact Lie group, moduli space of flat G bundles over the unit disk in the complex plane. So flat G bundles over something like the disk, there's really only one of them. But now I'm going to say that I want also a section of this bundle over the boundary. So trivialized over the boundary, equipped to the section. Okay, you have that. That's a particular manifold. It's infinite dimensional. And then you perform geometric quantization on this manifold. So you first need to have a pre-quantum line bundle.
Is it trivialization flat?
No.
That's why it's infinite dimensional.
That's why it's infinite dimensional, because you have the connection and the trivialization, and they're somehow, there's no, it's sort of like you end up having two different trivializations, one coming from the connection, one coming from this section, and there's no compatibility between them. Thank you. So, so then, suppose I was given a class in H4 of BG, there's a procedure that produces a pre-quantum line bundle, and then if I take the geometric quantization of M, and I call that V, then that is a way of getting this VOA that I'm talking about here. And this perspective allows me to see what I should be doing if G is not simply connected. Well, if G is not simply connected, let's see what happens. So first of all, this moduli space is going to become disconnected, is going to acquire different connected components. Because what is this moduli space? This moduli space, I can describe it very easily. It is just the free loop group of G modulo G. So if I take my bundle over the disk with its flat connection, so it's a trivial bundle because it has this flat connection, and then I have a section over the boundary, and the section of the boundary is just a map to the group. So that's LG, and then I mod out by gauge transformations, but the gauge transformations must be connection preserving, so there's very few of them, and you mod out by something finite dimensional, which is G. If G is not simply connected, meaning if there's non-trivial loops into G, you will see that because this LG is going to be disconnected, and modding out by G is not going to make it connected. So you end up with a disjoint union of various pieces. And if I take a disjoint union of various pieces, upon geometric quantization, I get a direct sum of various pieces. So the VOAs when G is not simply connected is going to be a direct sum of spaces where in one of the direct summons is going to be the VOA when the thing is simply, when the group is simply connected. So let me tell you about that. That's called an important notion in VOA theory. That's called a simple current extension. Yes? Yes? Did I just utter the answer to your question? Yes. So this is it. So I'm sort of here. The Carroll WCW model for non-simply connected Lie group is a simple current extension of the Carroll WCW model for simply connected. Lie group. So now I want to turn that upside down into and make it into definition in the same spirit as that one here. So we had here this definition that had the feature, I want to call it an advantage, but I'm not sure if it's an advantage, that's just a feature, that it didn't refer to anything having to do with a group or with this element K. So I want to make the same thing. I want to make a definition that just looks as vertex algebra theoretic as possible without any reference to things that are familiar, and then extract the familiar things by analyzing the definition. So you're saying which simple current we're using?
Yes.
So when you make this geometric quantization, you end up with a VOA which splits as, so if this is not simply connected, then the VOA V is going to end up being a direct sum of pieces indexed over some so there's going to be some other smaller VOA. Sorry. There's going to be another smaller VOA, W. And then I'm going to have an abelian group of representation. So you look at the representation theory of W. Among those, you look at those that are invertible. So the ones that have quantum dimension one, the ones that have an inverse with respect to fusion, then that thing here is an abelian group. Pick an abelian subgroup because you don't have to put all the things in there. You just like have a selection of those. And then you take direct sum over here of the module corresponding to that. So often people reserve the term simple current extension to the case when we're doing a direct sum indexed by a cyclic group. We just add one current and its powers. Here, I'm doing it over an abelian group, which doesn't need to be a cyclic group, even though in most cases, this is not so big, and therefore there's not so much space to find things that are not abelian. But yeah, this is what's going on. So I guess I have explained the notion of a simple current extension. So in this situation, one says V is a simple current extension of W. I have a bunch of invertible modules for W, put them together, you get something like that. So let me give you the analog of what's now in this red box. A chiral WCW model is a unitary VOA let's call it V. Unitary, rational. Rational, unitary VOA. So let's take a little bit of time to unpack this definition, because this is really the main thing that I want to present right now. It's this thing that I'm boxing. So first of all, there's a little, something which is a little bit weird, which is I'm saying that this thing is not just a VOA, it's a pair consisting of a VOA V and a thing inside V1, which is no longer visible that it's V1, and a thing inside V1. So we have two pieces of data. We have V and G. So this is, I mean, I guess this is in line with tradition in physics, where one thinks of a field theory as having a particular set of fields that you sort of like, when you write down a field theory, usually you write down like a field theory with a certain set of fields that generate it. So here, this is the whole, this is the field theory, and these are the fields that are the things that are there at the beginning. And that's one way of justifying this. But really, there's two. I had two choices in setting up this definition. I could have said a chiral WCW model is a rational unitary VOA V, which is a simple current extension of some sub VOA W that is generated in degree one. So that is to say, the same as that, except I don't take V as part of the data. I take V as something that, well, the easiest thing is to take V equals to V1. Take your VOA, look at the sub VOA generated by V1, and then ask that this big VOA is a simple current extension over the thing generated by V1. And what helps me make a choice between these two possibilities is that in one case, it lines up well up there, and the other case, it doesn't. So there exist models that are associated to different gauge groups, but the VOAs are isomorphic. The VOAs are the same. The simplest example is if I take SU2 level 1, or if I take U1, the smallest possible level, which produces an actual VOA and not a super VOA, which happens to be level 2. So if I take those two theories, so U1 is the maximal torus inside SU2. So if I take SU2 versus the sub-theory corresponding to its maximal torus, a priori, there's no reason to expect that these two things are the same. There's just the reason to expect that this maps into that. It so happens that they're the same. So the VOAs are isomorphic, and the way to distinguish these two models is by saying, ah, in one case I take all of little SU2 sitting inside the degree one part, in the other case I take only the Cartan subalgebra, and in both cases V happens to be a simple current extension of W, and so these are two different models. I mean, it depends what you want. Like, I'm putting in my definition what is going to make this statement up there more true.
Do you have a theorem if you don't? Can you?
You just need to understand this equivalence relation.
Okay, do you understand it?
So, I should understand it better. I have the feeling that it's not very difficult. And really what you need to understand is you need to say, starting from a gauge group and a level, you sort of like first build the VOA and then extract the Lie algebra V1. And that's going to be a Lie algebra which is slightly bigger. For example, if you start with this, it's going to produce a Lie algebra SU2. So you just need to look at what is going to be in degree one of that. And I just have a bunch of examples, but and they're all related to this use. I mean, they're all blamed on the fact that if you start with something which is simply laced at level one, then that's the same thing as the theory of the torus, except that you can have intermediate things sometimes. But that's so it's. Great. So now I gave you a definition, and I can formulate a statement, and the statement is going to be theorem. With this definition here, there is a one-to-one correspondence between this and that. And that theorem is very nice aesthetically, because here, okay, here it's not too difficult to see the group. The group is going to be the group associated to this Lie algebra. There's nothing really. But there's no sign of H4BG whatsoever. H4BG just comes out of computing how much there is in this definition. And then you get H4BG.
Have you run the global problem if somebody has to use it?
So you start with this. You have the Lie algebra that gives you the simply connected group. And then you know it's a simple current extension, so you know that there's going to be some abelian group A of representations that is involved. And then the main key fact that makes this work is that if W is a simply connected chiral WTW model, then, well, associated to some group G, which is now simply connected, then the invertible representations is the same thing as the center of the group. So you take the Lie algebra, you get the simply connected group, you look at which simple current extension it is that gives you a bunch of representations that now I interpret as being a subgroup here, and then the group that you assign to this model is going to be G modulo A. So the gauge group ends up being sorry? Yes, you can take, there's a particular construction of these elements where you start from the vacuum sector and then Let me finish this sentence, then I finish your answer. So the gauge group ends up being G modulo A, where G is a simply connected thing and A is the one that's over there. Back to what I was saying with the twisted sectors. If I start with, so you're asking me, given an element, you're asking me for a description of this isomorphism. There's a map that goes from here to here, and I claim it's an isomorphism. How, given a central element, do I build an invertible representation? So here's how you do it. You start with and I'm going to do it in the language of loop group representations. I'm not going to do it in the language of VOA representations, just because this is where I know how to formulate it most easily. So I start with my group G, and it has a certain center. It has an element, which is the identity, and then it has other elements that are central elements. And I have my central element A. So A is in the center of G. First thing you do is you pick a path from the identity to E, which I'm going to think of as being a discontinuous loop. I'm going to think of it as being a map from S1 into my G, which is discontinuous. Gamma thought of as a discontinuous loop acts by conjugation on continuous loops, on LG. That's because when I conjugate by this, I do nothing, and when I conjugate by that, I do nothing. So I preserve the fact that the loop closes. Therefore, what one gets is an automorphism of LG. Gamma induces an automorphism of LG. Now, if I start with the vacuum sector, which is a representation of LG, I can look at this new representation that first does the automorphism and then acts. That's going to be the non-trivial sector associated to the element here. Now there's a caveat. The caveat is going to spoil everything. If this map from here to here was an isomorphism, then my theorem up there would be a correctly stated theorem. But the correct statement is that the map going from here to here is an isomorphism in all cases except for the Lie group E8 at level 2. In which case, this is trivial and this has order 2.
Is there any relation with the fact that E8 at level 2 or
So the representation theory of E8 level 2 is some Ising category. It has two invertible fields and one field of dimension square root of 2. And the fact that this one is invertible is like, it doesn't have any right to be invertible. It shouldn't be invertible, it just happens to be invertible. I think the minimal dimension. Yeah. Yes, so you're not allowed to do a simple current extension with just this one. If you had a look at at the abstract that I gave for this talk. The abstract for this talk said the counterexample involves E8 cross E8. And the reason is that if I do E8 cross E8, then I can take psi for the first E8 times psi for the second E8, and now that has integral spin, and now I can do a simple current extension. Now I have a counterexample. Now I have a thing which, when I say counterexample, I mean I have a VOA that satisfies all the definitions of this thing here, of this red box, and yet doesn't come from a Lie group. I mean, what is this? What is this hypothetical gauge group of this thing? So you start with E8 cross E8. Here, where do I do it? I start with E8 cross E8. And it has this, I can make this simple current extension that's going to look like vacuum times vacuum plus psi times psi. So there is a VOA structure on that. This would make sense if this group had a non-trivial center. If this group had a non-trivial center, then I would say, the gauge group is or wants to be E8 cross E8 modulo a central Z mod 2. But the thing is, if you just look at what this is simply connected. So there is no thing to mod out by. It just it's a would-be notion associated to this actual VOA that exists. So this does not, this does not exist. But the VOA does exist. So that's why this thing up there is not a theorem. And in the paper I wrote, I actually made something which is a mathematical theorem by making the definition a little bit more ugly. So in the definition, I put in there saying, like little footnote, you're not allowed to use E8 level 2. So if you do this definition and say you're not allowed to use E8 level 2, then you have an actual bijective correspondence. So here, and not allowed to use E8 level 2. And at this point it becomes a philosophical question of like, do I want to call this model the Cairo WZW model or not? I think it doesn't have any reason to be called such. But from this perspective, it should be. It's really. Absolutely. So this is the unique counterexample to that. Let's see. My time is very soon up. The thing that I find to be even more miraculous is the fact that there is no sign whatsoever of H4BG here. This definition, you look at it, and yes, you can see the group. It's easy to explain how you get the group. The gauge group is like super easy to explain. But why H4BG comes out of that? So it's a sort of two-step process. First, you take H4BG and you compute it in terms not involving cohomology, just in terms of, so for example, here's something cool about H4BG. H4BG is always a torsion-free abelian group. It can be understood as being certain metrics on G satisfying certain integrality properties. So you have that thing. And then from that, using this fact that H4BG corresponds to metrics on G, and here we have a little bit of a, something that looks like a metric on G, you can sort of make the connection, but then you still have to check the integrality properties. You have integrality properties that tell you this metric corresponds to an element in H4BG, you have integrality properties coming from this plus the requirements that all these simple current extensions are like that all the conformal spins are integers. And it so happens that these integrality conditions exactly agree on the nose. And so that's really the bulk of the work in that paper that you can check out. Yes?
In the cyclic V1, like H3,
That does not end up being used. I'm aware of this way of thinking of H4BG, so you can think of it as being H3 of some. Yes, there is a version of H3 so that H3BG with coefficients U1 is exactly that, and that's a sort of better thing to be thinking about. But the way I end up working with all that is just computational. You look at what H4BG is, you compute it, and then you check that it agrees. So I don't end up needing to understand really what it means to be a class in H4BG. Just like you compute how many there are on one side and compute how many simple current extensions there are on the other side. And then once you have the complete computation, you just match the two. Yeah, I
it's a good.
Yes, so that perspective is useful if I want to make this story precise. If I wanted to say, how do I actually get a pre-quantum line bundle over this moduli space, then yes, it's very useful to actually think in terms of this other model for H4BG. Then it's really useful how to do it. But so I think I have 1 hour, is that right? So I should stop. I want to finish with a question, which I don't really know the answer to, which is, well, if you follow the structure of my talk, I started by giving this definition, that's definition number one, that has to do with simply connected groups. And then I gave this other definition here, which is a bit more complicated and ends up being in bijective correspondence with all connected Lie groups. So this includes tori, this includes semi-simple mod finite group, it's like all connected compact Lie groups. And then the natural next step is like, well, how about disconnected groups? Is there a next thing, definition number three, that would be in bijective correspondence with all compact Lie groups with a class in H4BG? And so my conviction is that this formalism, the formalism of VOAs, is insufficient, is unable to deal with that. That there is no VOA corresponding to, say, a finite group and an element in H4PG. There is no VOA that corresponds to the group Z mod 2 with, say, a trivial cocycle. There just isn't. So I'm not saying that there is nothing that wants to be called the chiral WCW model for a disconnected group. What I'm saying is that it's not a VOA. It's something that goes beyond VOAs in some ways that I don't understand yet. And on that note, I will finish my talk.
Questions? If there are no further questions, Stan Kondrega.
Thanks a lot.